This morning, we're going to continue our discussion of our theme. Everything that we're looking at centers around hope. There's a long discussion of hope in Romans, the 8th chapter, and beginning in verse 18 down through verse 30. So let's read this. I'm going to read it out of the New International Translation. That's what's going to be up here on the screen. And if you want to read it from a different translation, feel free to do that. But what will be up here is the New International Translation. And it just really struck me as being very understandable. Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we have who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Hope that's seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. We know that in all things God works for the good of those that love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those that He justified, He glorified." Well, there's a lot in that passage, isn't there? So let's start to kind of look at some of the things that are in that passage that are so important to us. The first one that really struck me is that God subjected all of creation to frustration, but it's a frustration that exists in hope. That's what He said in verse 20. The creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. And of course, the one who subjected it was God. It was according to His will that this happened, but it happened in hope. The creation was subjected not by its own choice, but by the will of God. Now, when did that happen? Well, it was in the garden. Genesis, the 3rd chapter, records how all of this being subjected to frustration happened. It was because of sin. It was because of what Adam and Eve did. They ate of the tree that God had forbidden them to eat of. So this is what happened. All of creation, not just Adam and Eve, all of creation If you look at Genesis, the third chapter at verse 14, it says that the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, this is what I'm subjecting you to. You are cursed above all livestock and all wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly. You will eat dust all the days of your life. So that's a frustration that God subjected the serpent to because of what happened in the garden. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head. You will strike his heel. To the woman, God said, now remember, we're going to go through all of creation. All of creation has been subjected to this. To the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Then he said this to Adam, to the man. Because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. He says, this is your frustration. You will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you will return. And then he cursed even the ground. I don't know what the situation was prior to this, what Adam's relationship was with the earth. But it must have been something better than what it eventually became. So God cursed the ground because of what Adam did. Through painful toil, Adam would eat food from it all the days of his life. And the ground that used to work with Adam and Eve to make it easy for them to survive, the ground now has to bring forth thorns and thistles. That wasn't what the earth wanted to do. And I realize that that's assigning a human desire to the earth. But I think there's some reason for that. But there's a hint that there's hope. Even in this frustration that he pronounced on the serpent, on the woman, on the man, and on the earth, there was some hint of hope. And that hint is that Jesus is going to crush Satan. And you know, we're still groaning in this frustration, aren't we? That's what he says in Romans 8, beginning at verse 22. He says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. I watched my wife give birth, and she went through incredible pain. And it's been said that if men had to give birth, there would be one child, and that would be it. But that's the kind of groaning that the whole creation experiences. We ourselves, even us who have the first fruits of the Spirit, it's not as if once we become Christians, we're free from this frustration. We're not. We have to deal with it. We groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Yes, I know the frustration that comes from living in this world. And it is a frustrating place in a lot of ways. But we're in a state that includes hope and patient waiting. Notice the tenses as we read through this. Romans 8:24. In this hope, we were saved. It's not that we will be saved. In this hope, we were saved. Hope that's seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We don't have everything that is going to be ours. We hope that we'll be released from this bondage, this frustration. But right now, we're dealing with it. But we're enjoying the first fruits of the Spirit. I don't know how to stress that enough. We ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit still have to go through this frustration. But remember we saw the hint that Jesus was going to crush Satan's head? Well, we have a hint of what's coming for us. The first fruits that we have. And that includes the Spirit helping in our weakness. What a great blessing it is to live in a world that frustrates us, that we can't explain, knowing that the Spirit is going to help in our weakness. Now, we'll talk about this part of that reading more next week. We'll talk about how the Spirit helps in our weakness. But at this point, we've established frustration, but I don't want to leave you there. I want you to understand that it's a frustration that includes hope. It's a frustration that was imposed by God because man didn't follow the manufacturer's instructions. And because of that, the world doesn't work the way God intended it to work. The world is broken. All of creation is broken. We're broken. But there's hope. God can eliminate the frustration, and He will. And we'll talk about that more next week. So don't leave here despondent. Don't leave here thinking that all I've talked about is frustration. There is frustration. Leave here focused on hope and come back next week so we can talk about hope. Because we need that. If you put on Jesus in baptism, you have the Spirit's help. And I know what that means to you. If you've not done that and you want to do it, we'll help you do it this morning. We can help you at any time. But we want you to think about putting on Jesus in baptism as you face frustration. Jesus is the hope that we will overcome.